The Super Speedway Podcast is a Dream Bigger Media production. For news, photos, show notes, and information about advertising on the podcast, visit www.thesuperspeedway.com.
3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Super Speedway.
Welcome to episode 171 of the Super Speedway Podcast, recorded Sunday, September 13th, 2020. I'm your host, Eric Young, and I'm joined, as always, a little early this week by my co-host, James Cush. James, how's it going on a Sunday?
Hey, recording on a Sunday, man.
Yeah.
I think, is that the earliest we've ever done one?
Well, we did, didn't we do, we've done a post-race one before on a Sunday.
Well, we did the one in the car. I think that's the record.
Yeah, that's definitely the record. But we did a post-race. That's the record. Didn't we get together and do a post-race once, too? I feel like we did. Maybe we didn't.
Yeah.
Maybe
we talked about it. Yeah, we did. New Hampshire at your house a couple years back.
Yeah.
I remember
right.
that.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
So
not unprecedented for us to be on a Sunday.
Right. Well, it's basically unprecedented, but.
I mean, yeah.
So we had a Saturday night race this week, and things worked out, and James wants to make sure that he's on the podcast. So he's just afraid now that I told him that he wasn't going to get his picks, and he earned a couple points this weekend. So, well, you earned one point.
I draw.
It was a draw. That's right. You were close. There were a couple moments that I thought you might get that double point.
Yeah. I might get that Martin Truex Jr. bump, but I couldn't quite get there.
I was excited at first because Truex was beating Denny Hamlin, and I thought for a moment that I picked Truex and you picked Hamlin. And then I realized that, no, I didn't. That was not how it worked.
I'd give you a hard time, but I've done that plenty of times.
Right.
But I did well in the other thing that we do, the fantasy league. So we're good.
You got another win, two in a row, man.
I know. We're short on news this week, so we're breaking into picks and fantasy right in the top segment.
Right off the bat. Right before we talk about Brad Keselowski, I'd go a little short of saying dominated this race. But
it looked dominant at the, when you look at the numbers.
I think it was
fairly dominant.
I think it was if you factor out the strategy. There was so much strategy in that third stage that people were on different agendas. I mean, Keselowski was technically leading the race, even though he wasn't leading the race. I mean, between him and Dylan, those were the guys that were in the front. I use air quotes front of the pack throughout the race. So, so Brad Keselowski, this is his second race with this car. Second race with this tire combination and second win for Brad Keselowski. And this, ironically enough, is the exact same car and, well, same package and tire and now car that they'll run at Phoenix at the end of the season. So
yeah, and it's his third, if you want to add a number three to that, it's his third 750 win.
Yeah.
The fourth for Penske, if you count.
Right, because Logano won one.
Yeah, Logano won Phoenix.
Yep.
So, yeah, knocking at the door of the championship favorite.
We're all sitting here watching Denny Hamlin and Kevin Harvick click off wins, but they're not clicking off wins in the rules package that they're going to run for the championship in.
I know. It's it's pretty cool. Yeah. I guess it gives you that underdog flair that, I don't know, that you might have a shot at somebody else sneaking up and stealing this title, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean,
pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. Brad looked pretty good out there and called a shot early in the week.
Said, he was giddy.
He was going to do it, and he did it. So,
and he said after the race, patted the car and said, "I want this car at Phoenix." So he assumes he's getting there too. So
well, he even took it easy on the burnout. Didn't do the big burnout at the end of the race. Didn't want to rip the fenders off of it. So
that's awesome. Yeah, I love it, man. I think it's great.
Yeah, definitely.
I want to see him. I want to see somebody come out of there and challenge the two big dogs.
Right.
And you know, I think racing pure. There's a lot of this discussion going on this week, Eric, you know, as far as the race is concerned and as far as the points are concerned about racing purity and, you know, cautions make better racing.
We're going to get into that.
But, you know, as far as the point standings are concerned, there's the whole, well, you know, this, you know, Brad Keselowski, if he's really good at this one thing, why does he deserve the championship? Well, you know, let me tell you, man, that's what a playoff is all about. You get, you know, you have your favorites, you have your heavy favorites. I mean, Eric, you're a fan of the NHL, and you know, what sport has underdogs come out of nowhere better than hockey?
Well, right? Exactly. I mean, very rarely does the best team in the NHL, the best team in the regular season go on to win the Stanley Cup. It's very rare.
Yep. And baseball's kind of like that too. So I think we got something brewing here where we have a guy we we may not even think of him as an underdog, but he's definitely got that, you know, compared to Harvick and Hamlin, he's definitely in that category a little bit.
Well, and the other plus you have to look at here, James, is that, okay, so we have this race, Brad's qualified in the next round, and we're penciling him in for the four race, you know, the four car battle at the end, but he's still got to get there.
You got to get through Talladega and the Roval.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not like he's getting in just because he's good at this type of track, because he's still got to win in other tracks or place well enough at other tracks to get in and get to that race. So right. I think it's fair. I think the system's totally fine. And as long as what I'd like to see is, and we've talked about this before, is NASCAR to cycle this around the last race of the year. So sometimes it's an intermediate track. Sometimes it's a short track. Maybe once in a while it's a super speedway. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, just to change it up a little bit. But these guys all are racing for the same thing. They know what they're racing for. And you know, it's still fair because Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin are plenty good at Phoenix.
Yeah, they're fine. Yeah, so, they're going to be fine. I mean, it's going to be fair.
Yeah, it's going to be a great race. I'm looking forward to it. You know, and hopefully it was better than this one, because this one was a snoozer. I took the sound effects off my soundboard because they're so cheesy. But I wish I still had the snoring one, because it could have really been neat. I take that back, because it wasn't, I mean.
No, I liked a lot of this race.
It was a good race. It just, nothing happened.
Well, and this is the problem with Richmond of late, yeah. The last handful of years. It's just been another intermediate track.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really a short track. It's not really an intermediate track, but it races like an intermediate track.
Well, and Jeff Gluck and Jordan Bianchi were arguing about it on their podcast this week, The Teardown, if you guys haven't listened to it, or don't listen to it. If you don't, check it out. It's probably it's the quickest podcast you can get post race. So, yep. Like we're recording Sunday, the day after the race, theirs is already out, and James and I have already listened to half of it. But so they were arguing about it, and Jeff asked, you know, Richmond used to be one of these tracks that used to have, you know, 12, 13 cautions in, and now yesterday there were none other than planned cautions. And he said, what changed? Well, I'll tell you what changed. They stopped putting sealer down in this place, and it's not an ice skating rink anymore. I mean, that's what they did at Richmond. Richmond was an ice skating rink. And now you can pass. There's two grooves. And we saw some really, really good racing. And I think this Richmond this weekend was another example of the difference between like old Bristol and new Bristol. The racing is better, but we don't get the excitement because we don't get the wrecks. And then the argument is what's more important? Would you rather have a racetrack that you can't pass on, but everybody's crashing into each other? Or would you rather have a racetrack that they can pass and have room and they don't have to run into each other?
Right, right. Yeah, and I think a lot of, you know, more casual fans want the cautions. They want the crashes and things like that.
Well, we do have two restrictor plate races a year that we do, or four a year that we do that in.
Yeah, exactly.
So, exactly. Well, not restrictor plate anymore, but super speedways, you know?
Exactly. No, and you know, there's a lot of things to take away from this race that I really enjoyed. Like, I loved Rodney Childers and Kevin Harvick doing that short pit strategy and watching Kevin Harvick just throttle that car around the track. I mean, it was awesome to see what those fresh tires could do.
Well, and it was a fuel mileage race without fuel. I mean,
yeah, for sure. Yeah. Just,
when really was the last time we had a tire strategy race like this?
Yeah, I know. It never happens. That was good to see. And you know, when the tires wore, you could see the drivers having to wheel it too.
This was a Formula One race. If you're a Formula One fan, you loved this race, other than the fact that they only turned left. You know, this is exactly what Formula One is. You play the tire strategies, and some people pit twice, some people pit three times, some people pit once, and it's how it comes out. And you know, that's what we had. And I mean, I thought it was riveting. It was fun to watch. I would have liked to see some sparks and a couple of fenders bent and some, you know, sore feelings. But, you know, we got Bristol for that next weekend.
Yeah, we've got stuff coming. I mean, Bristol's coming. Don't worry.
I think Bristol's still going to be pretty intense as a, you know, end of a round.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially if guys are around each other, it's got potential.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There'll be fireworks there,
but we'll get to that. So last week at Darlington, the playoff opener, Austin Dillon came up, finished second place, ran really well all day, almost won that race. And we're all like, man, that's a great run for Austin Dillon. What a surprise.
Yeah. Bonus points, right? That was a bonus for Austin.
Yeah. Dillon. It was a bonus. None of us are putting much into it. You know? Yeah. Maybe he'll get through this round now. But now, he backs it up with almost winning another one this weekend. Yeah,
he should have won this race.
Yes.
He had a couple of moments where just kind of you know, speeding penalty knocked him back. Because he had another issue that bogged him down.
Yeah, they had trouble on the last pit stop. Oh, that's right. He missed pit road.
Yeah, that's it. Yes, that's it. Yep. He got, he couldn't get down. And that got Harvick, too, yep, trying to get in on that box.
Yeah, actually, Dylan did it the best way because he kept going and just ran another lap, whereas Harvick hit the box and had
Truex did it, too. Yeah, Truex did it, too. Yeah, seen it nailed a couple of guys. But that pit road comes up on you fast, and that box is pretty big. So to get under it, you got to really, you know, it's not easy. It's got to be one of the harder things that they do.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, so what do we think? Is Dylan someone to watch? I mean, is he a sleeper in this playoff battle? Does he get to the final four?
I don't think he gets to the final four, but is he going to get to the round of eight?
He might. I think he is.
He's definitely good. He's good to go to get to the round of 12. I mean, just have a good day, you know, have a good day at Bristol and he'll be fine.
The thing is the next round is such a crapshoot.
Yep.
Right. The next round is Talladega and all that, right?
Talladega. Well, it starts at Las Vegas.
And then Talladega and the Roval.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's such a crapshoot. You just never know.
Right. But if he has a decent day at Vegas, you know, he's won super speedway races before. Right. So
yeah,
win Talladega possibly, and then you're good to go. But I don't know about him at the Roval so much, but you know, that's kind of a, you know.
Yeah,
but lines up well for Chase Elliott.
He can finish mid pack at the Roval and have a good run at Vegas and Talladega and get in though. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean I tell you what, I think he's for real now. I mean, it's not a fluke anymore. Not two races in, right?
Yeah, it's very strange. They've come on. I mean, two races in a row is just outside of fluky.
Right.
You know, that means when you do it twice, you've got something going on there that is right. Do it again. I want to see him do it one more time.
Yeah.
You know, if they come to Bristol and let's just say he gets a standard top 10, I'm going to probably put him in the round of eight. I feel like, I would think that would be realistic for them.
Well,
if he keep this up.
His average finish at Bristol is 17.4. So a top 10 would definitely be above and beyond what you'd expect out of Dylan at Bristol.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Yeah. If he backs it up there for sure, you know,
exactly. Yeah. If he keeps outperforming his past work, you know, the sky's the limit for that guy right now.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to be Kevin Harvick or Denny Hamlin, but I mean, dude, he could have won this race.
Yeah.
And it was no joke. He was probably the best car out there. You know, Keselowski's got the numbers behind him, but Dylan had penalties and kept coming back. He just kept bouncing back through the field multiple different times. I mean, that was impressive to me.
Yeah, I agree. We go from overperforming to completely underperforming. Ryan Blaney again, man, he's, I don't know what's going on there, but they are cracking under the pressure, as well as Matt DiBenedetto, who is also terrible again.
Yeah.
They're basically, if they're not must win, they're must half the field wreck, you know,
and then
finish top five because,
yeah,
I mean, 25 points back for DiBenedetto, 27 back for Ryan Blaney. Yeah.
You got to go win the stages and then you got to finish well and let the balls fall where they are.
And this is why I think Bristol is going to be interesting, because we've got especially these two guys who run really well at Bristol that are going to need a win to get in.
Right.
And, you know, we've already seen excitement with, you know, Chase Elliott at Bristol prior. You know, there's other guys that are going to try and get that win. And then you add to that the ingredients of two guys that absolutely need to win. And then you got someone like Ricky Stenhouse Jr. who'd do real well with the win here, and he'll run well here.
Yep.
Lots of stuff could happen at Bristol this weekend. It could be like the all-star race and be a snoozer. So who knows?
Sure. Yeah. Well, and I think the problem that DiBenedetto and Blaney are going to have is the guys that they're knocking at the door to get in. Right. Are also really good at Bristol.
Yeah.
Kurt Busch, Clint Bowyer. Eric Almirola might be the weak spot there, possibly.
Right.
But even Kyle Busch in ninth, I mean, he's 18 points to the good. You know, you're not – those guys aren't going to come back to you without complete disaster.
Right.
So, you know, Clint Bowyer is going to be in the top 10. Kurt Busch is going to be hovering around the top 10. So you're going to have to outperform those guys and then some. So that's the problem.
Right.
know, picking up 25 positions straight up on Kurt Busch and Clint, it's not going to happen. It's just not.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But again, anything can happen at Bristol too. You never know. We could have accidents. We could have people fall out.
I'm surprised with Ryan Blaney, but then again, Eric, you know, we talked about it in our pre-playoff pod. There's always a guy that falls out early, and I thought Ryan Blaney would figure it out and be fine, but my goodness, not great. I mean, he's got to go hit a walk-off homer at Bristol. I don't know how else he's going to get it done.
Yeah.
But it's super disappointing for him. All these other guys that are on the bubble are out of the picture right now. You can expect William Byron to not be there just for sheer the fact that he's, you know, he had to fight to get in the first place, got that win, young guy. That's okay. He making the playoffs is good. Cole Custer, rookie, Matt DiBenedetto, you know, probably a little bit more disappointing too, but still, I don't expect a lot out of that team as well. So, but Ryan Blaney, start of the year, Eric, the first four races before the pandemic hit, we were talking championship contender, right? I mean, he was top two every week. He could have won the 500. We were talking about all that stuff.
But Ben Blaney. I mean, that's been his career so far.
Yep, just kind of fell off a cliff again.
You know, and you know, we're saying Blaney, but I mean, really, he finished 19th in this race. He managed to battle back and be in a decent position, and then they completely screwed up on the pit stop and let him out with no lug nuts or very few lug nuts on the tire and had to bring him back in. So that's not Blaney's mistake. That's a pit crew mistake that cost him there. But that's the thing. It's like, I mean, Blaney's getting the blame for it, but this team historically has fallen apart when they need to perform, and then they sneak one out when you're not expecting them to. So, I mean, again, it just has to fall at the right time to get in the next round, and then it's a clean slate. But
when you see what Brad Keselowski's doing with the old crew chief of the 12,
right?
And Jeremy Mullins, like, they've got four wins, and you know, we're talking about him as a legit championship contender now.
Yep.
So what's the going on there?
Well, that's the frustrating thing. You got Blaney, and then, you know, to a lesser extent, you know,
we know he can drive.
But to a lesser extent, you know, DiBenedetto is a team car essentially too. And then you've got two team cars that are running up front with Logano and Keselowski. That's when it starts to look, you know, what's going on. That's when people start to question if the whole team was doing bad. You know, it's just like Kyle Busch struggling this season while Denny Hamlin's running as well as he is, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's the whole fourth Hendrick car conundrum that we've talked about since the 90s, right? It's what's going on with that one guy, with that one car, that one team.
What it really comes down to is it's really hard to do this, and not everybody's going to click. And you can't just slap a setup or what another team's doing. A lot of it's chemistry, a lot of it's momentum. And
it's easy to say, Ryan, go out there and win some races and you'll be fine. But when Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin are winning everything, what are you supposed to do?
Right,
you
exactly. Know? We've talked about it, that it's done. You know, the pool is small on races you can win with those guys doing what they're doing. Speaking of Denny Hamlin leads 45 laps on the day, ends up finishing 12th. They had an issue too, but I can't remember what it was.
Became a non-factor. Yeah, he had what happened to him? Either way, two weeks in a row, though, he's kind of faded to the back. Not to the back. I mean, I was just outside of the top 10, but... worrisome these finishes for him?
I don't know. I mean, yeah,
he doesn't need him. I think he did clinch on points to the next round.
That's
so
true. But I mean, he's just setting himself up to be. I mean, this is a Denny Hamlin track. This is a track he should have been running up front the whole race.
Yep.
And he led 45 laps, but a 12th place finish is not running up front the whole race.
Yep.
So, you know,
it's just this race, and you look back to Martinsville, like, Jeff and Jordan Bianchi had said in their podcast, it's weird, you know, he's not that good on these tracks that we feel like he should be. So,
and Hamlin started the day with, or started, you know, the race with a first place in the first stage, and then, didn't place in the top 10 in the second stage, which there was a lot of strategy, going on there, but, let's see, we mentioned Austin Dillon, he led 55 laps in the day. Joey Logano led 45 on his way to his third place finish. Kevin Harvick led 41. Harvick had the issue on pit road, which probably kept him from really contending up front.
Yeah, he was top five without that issue. He had to rally back.
And
there,
I mean, we're pretty shuffled here at the end. I think, you know, Brad Keselowski, Martin Truex, Austin Dillon, Kyle Busch. I think those
guys.
Yeah, I think those guys you're kind of looking at, like, they were, no matter what the strategy was going to be, those guys were probably going to be in the top five or six.
Yeah, you're exactly. Shuffle, you know, deck. I like that. Yeah.
Logano kind of ended up in there partially because of strategy and because of how he was running, and Harvick ended up probably back a little bit further because of strategy. But those other guys kind of are where you sort of expected them to be. So, you know, we had a mix. You know, there's going to be some guys that are going to finish further back because of strategy that just didn't work out. And I mean, that was the excitement of this race. I mean, one caution too could have thrown a wrench in things. And I love how Dale Jr. is sitting there saying, anything, debris on the property, NASCAR is going to throw a caution because we haven't had a caution tonight. And
yeah. And that Davidson hit the wall.
Yeah.
And nothing. They just kept on going. That was the only, I think it was the only action we saw tonight, other than the Jimmy Johnson skirmish. But
yeah.
That wasn't much either. I mean, that took Jimmy Johnson pretty much out of the show anyways. But other than that, there wasn't much going on.
Yeah,
so.
Jimmy Johnson, 31st. James disappointed with his performance because it cost him a point.
It did. I was really surprised by how bad he was.
It was pretty bad, yeah. All right, so we've kind of hinted at it. We've kind of bounced around it, James. You got it here in the notes. I think it's worth a discussion. Again, it was a big discussion topic on Gluck's podcast. Caution-free short track race. What do we think?
I was fine with it, Eric. I mean... Yeah. It's different every time.
But yeah,
I was fine with it.
I mean, I want to see some bent sheet metal. I want to see some. You
me
know,
too.
I want to see some upset people. But if you're going to have a caution free race, this was about the best caution free race you could have.
Yeah, a lot of strategy. It was really good.
Yeah,
I thought it was a good race, not great. You're going to have these. You know,
it was still worth watching. You know,
exactly.
Would it have been better as a 300 lapper than a 400 lapper? Yes, but I'll say that all day long. But but I mean, you know, we had the same thing in the Xfinity races. I didn't watch the second Xfinity race, but the first Xfinity race was similar. So
and these races might be better in the day than they are at night. You know, that's another thing that to think about. But
I don't know. I still think like I have a belief that if you're going to run a short track race, it should be under the lights.
Oh, personally. Sure. I like it better, too. Yeah.
And honestly, I realize that these cars generally handle better or are more fun to watch during a hot day. The more night races we have, the better. I think it's just cool to see these cars under the lights. And I realize if you guys ever been to a night race, these aren't night races, guys. These tracks are so bright that you forget it's nighttime. you know, I mean, it's bright as crap. There's not, when you go to a short track and you go watch a night race, you know, there's shadows and the strobing of the lights as the cars drive through them. There's not a dark spot on the entire property of these places.
No way, man. You think they're letting any shadows in at Daytona?
Those lights that they run, those Musco lights or however you pronounce it, that you see at Daytona that they've got, you know, like 100 of them around the track. One of those will light your local short track. You know,
yeah, they're,
I remember when they ran the ASA series at Tri-City Motor Speedway here, our local track back when it was asphalt. They brought in, they put it on TNN Live, and they brought in two trucks with two sets of those lights to add to the lighting of what the track already had. And they were so bright. It was like daytime with just two lights. So
yeah
they're, it's pretty bright if you've never been to one. So,
yeah.
I think again, it was a good race for what it was. Would like to see a little bit more excitement, especially in the playoffs, but hey, they can't all be edge of the seat running into each other. We had some great finishes. We had some great races last weekend at Darlington. You know, we got what we got this week.
And we got great races coming. We got great races coming. It's just every once in a while you're going to get a this was a stinker. I don't want to. I'm trying not to be
it
that.
It really wasn't. I mean, it wasn't a bad race.
Right.
It just wasn't a great race.
It's just different. Yeah, it's just different.
Yeah. I do miss, James, the tenseness of the original playoffs when we had everybody fighting every race and they were all so stressed out. Everybody knows how the system works now and they're a little less, you know, uncomfortable with it. And that's taking the fun out of it.
Yeah. And I do miss some of the back in the chase days when Richmond was the cutoff. There were some good races. Not everyone was good. They probably were about 40 or 50% of them were really good. But still, when Richmond is good, it is really good.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. It has that potential. I just would like to see it bounce back. But, I don't think you and I went into this race thinking that this was going to be a barn burner of an event.
No. Richmond is, Richmond's underwhelmed for the last several seasons.
It hasn't been that.
My better answer to Jeff Gluck as to what happened, why there's so many fewer cautions at Richmond now, is because Michael Waltrip Racing doesn't exist anymore.
That's a good one. The arms aren't as itchy.
Yeah.
Used to be.
Boyer's not getting the instruction from the pits anymore to fake spin. So
can you believe that was 7 years ago? I saw that the other day and I thought, oh my God, I am getting old. I cannot believe that was that long ago already.
I just think it's amazing that Michael Waltrip Racing started and ended with controversy.
Of course. Yeah, that was it. I mean, they were done after that.
we kind of hit on the playoffs a little bit. You're 4 to the good right now. Ninth place, Kyle Busch, 18 points to the good. Kurt Busch and Eric Almirola are 10th and 11th, 7 points to the good. Clint Bowyer, 3 to the good. And then we have Byron, 3 back. Cole Custer, 8 back. And then Matt DiBenedetto, Ryan Blaney, both pretty much must win. DiBenedetto's 25 points back. Blaney's 27 back. I don't think there's any surprises here, really, other than, you know, like we said,
Blaney's
probably the biggest one. Byron, we kind of expected. I think I have him going through if I remember correctly, but he's one of those guys that, like, him and Almirola, Bowyer, you know, one of those guys. Maybe Bowman being 27 points to the good and eighth might be a little bit of a surprise.
Well, I think what we've got there too is with Blaney being so far back. If Blaney was in 13th right now, 3 points out like Byron, I'd say, okay, that seems about right. I could live with that, but Blaney being, and I know the penalty in Darlington helps with this issue.
Right.
But him being so far back, that's the big outlier. I think Bowman just surviving. I mean, he ran well at Darlington. So, and again at Richmond, he was solid. So, I don't know if that, everybody else. I mean, Austin Dillon's probably the biggest surprise.
Yeah, definitely.
Obviously.
He's 6th in points right now, 36 points of the good. Dillon's essentially into the next round.
Yeah, he's good. Just have a really good stage. I mean, even if he just runs 2 good stages at Bristol, he's good. And that's the thing, like, if Joey Logano goes and wins stage 1 at Bristol, he's already locked in too. So, I always try to remember those stage points with this because they do pile up for these guys. I mean, it matters.
So if you're Joey Logano, do you go in and try to win that stage? Do you try and do everything you can to place well in that stage and just get the monkey off your back? Or do you just go run a race like normal and try for the win? He's going in no matter what, right?
Yeah, I think you just go and you race your race if you're Joey. You don't have to really worry about it, you know. But if I'm, if I'm Kyle Busch, I mean, I go try to get those stage points. I think I race it a little bit differently.
Right.
I think if I'm Joe Logano, I just run my race. Same with Martin Truex Jr. Those guys are good enough. They don't need to really worry about it. But, you know, I think somebody like Kyle Busch, Kurt Busch, I'd go try to nab those stage points right off the bat and give yourself more cushion.
Well, and as they said on TV too, that with Kevin Harvick, you know, Harvick said that you can't turn it on and off like that. So
they're going out there trying
to win every week, just like it's like they're not locked in. So.
He says that, but then him and Rodney are playing around with some of the strategy at Richmond, which I really like. I like that they were doing that.
Yeah.
There's
lots of stuff to learn for Phoenix. I mean, honestly, this was their best chance, last chance to really learn for Phoenix right here.
Yep. So it's good. Yep. Very good.
As you mentioned, Kevin Harvick, Brad Keselowski, both locked in with wins. Denny Hamlin locked in on points. So they were moving on to the round of 12. So. Like you said, Joey Logano close. Truex 38 points to the good. We mentioned Austin Dillon 36 points to the good. Chase Elliott 28 to the good. Alex Bowman 27 to the good. All those guys probably moving on, barring a big screw up at Bristol. Like you said, Kyle Busch kind of he's in the warm seat. 18 points
warm,
to the good.
But he's got plenty of guys behind him to keep him company.
He's got a track that he's going to that is one of his best tracks, if not the best. That being said, he's also had some really bad days at Bristol. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we will.
Let's talk some news, James. It's not a whole lot because it's Sunday. You know, we didn't have a whole lot going on since the race anyway. But
we like to catch up on the news from where we left off the podcast before because we always seem to be early. So,
yeah, we either forget stuff or we were early. We were a little early this week. We missed out on Bubba Wallace making it official. Leaving the 43 car at the end of the season.
Yep.
So there's a lot of interesting stuff going on here. So you got a couple things here in the notes. We should know where he's racing soon. David Smith says that Haley Deegan is a potential replacement.
Possible, yeah. I think that's I think he even kind of tentatively said that's this is more of a long term play, but
right.
But still, they're sniffing around Haley Deegan. That's noticeable.
Something that currently Bubba does not have a ride for next season yet, and that Denny Hamlin is still trying to put something together.
I just don't know how he's going to do it.
I don't know either. I don't know.
Unless Denny Hamlin's leaving Gibbs, he can't.
Right. Yeah,
I
don't
know. Can't be an owner anywhere else.
I don't know. But so there's a lot of things up in the air. We still, you know, obviously 48's a big question mark. What's going to happen there? Eric Jones is a big question mark. I honestly think Bubba Wallace is the first domino to drop. I think everybody's waiting on him, and I think once we find out where he's going, we might find out where everybody else is.
Sure.
So, I mean, it was implied this week that Eric Jones doesn't know where he's going, and I keep hearing talk on DBC about how Clint Bowyer may be retiring, and so, I mean, we still haven't heard a word on that 14 car. Yeah. So, there's a lot of things.
It's musical chairs, and I think we've got three guys and three seats, and we're trying to figure out where these guys are going to be seated at the table. You've got the 14, the 42, and the 48, and you've got Bubba, Larson, and Jones,
right?
I think are the big free agents. Am I missing any other big free agents there?
Well, I mean, not in the Cup Series, but then you've got, I mean, they talked in the Xfinity broadcast that a lot of people assume that Austin Cindric is staying with Penske because of his relationship. But that he doesn't have a ride for next year. He has nothing planned.
Chase Briscoe. It sounds like Tony Stewart's going to keep Chase Briscoe down. But again, I don't know. Who know? Who the heck knows?
Yeah, I mean, so there's possibilities there in the Xfinity series. At the same time, I mean, I think we've talked about it on this podcast. It's probably, you know, after the last couple of years, it's the weakest Xfinity series that we've seen.
I was just going to say, I think people need to remember how good the Xfinity series class that just went up to Cup really was.
Right. You lost a lot of potential wins there that are being picked up by guys that should have been winning before, like Justin Allgaier, who swept the weekend.
Doing their job now. Like, you know, Chase Briscoe doing his job.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he said beginning this year he needed to win 8 races, and he's going to be pretty darn close.
Winning 8 races this season versus winning 8 races last season are two very different things.
Yep, it's a differently weighted season. You don't have Cole Custer out there. You don't have Tyler Reddick out there. I mean, and Chris Bell. I mean, there was a three-headed monster last year that was pretty great. So, I just think I think going back to the cup ready guys, it's three guys, three seats, and I think you're right. I think Bubba Wallace, you know, let's say Bubba Wallace picks the 42. Then everything else maybe falls in line. Jones to the 48.
I cannot imagine. I know that Petty is behind, but Bubba's bringing a bunch of sponsorship, and they're on the upswing. Do you really think the 42 is enticing enough to give up an ownership stake and a team that's on the upswing to go to the 42 car?
I just feel like he wants to be more competitive. I feel like
how much more competitive. I mean, Kurt's a great driver too. And I realize you've got two older guys that are on the downward slope of their career running for that team right now. But Larson wasn't setting the world on fire in that car. And look what Larson's doing outside of Cup right now.
I know. Yeah, I know.
So
yeah.
I don't think those cars are that good.
And I think Rick Hendrick, he would like more sponsorship spread amongst all of his cars. And with Bubba Wallace bringing in some cash, some quiche, I think that shines brightly for Bubba.
All right.
As well as his talent.
Let's throw out what we think. What do we want, James? Where would you like to see these guys fall?
Oh, man. Oh, man. You're going to make me put Larson in the Cup Series again. And I'm going to sound like a bad guy. Well, here's what I would like to have happen.
Okay.
I want Larson in the 14.
Okay.
And I wanted that way before Clint even signed on, but that was a different world. But I still think I want to see Larson come back and get one more shot. But you know, maybe Larson goes to the 43. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, throw your hands up. So I think Larson to the 14. I would like to see Jones go to the 48, and I think Bubba would do well at the 42.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, gosh, I feel like that's what's going to happen, and maybe that's why I want it to happen.
Right.
But I don't know. I have a hard time seeing Bubba go anywhere else. I don't know about you.
I want to see Bubba go to the 48 and Erik Jones go to the 14.
Sure.
I would really like to see what Jones could do in a Stuart Haas car. And maybe that's maybe I'm a little partial to Jones because I've been rooting for Jones since he was racing in the late model series and raced at Dixie Motor Speedway. We got to watch him win. I mean, so I might be a little partial there, but
yeah, we got a soft spot for him. I like him too.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, I mean, and again, that 43 car could be interesting. There's talk of, you know, there's potentially going to be another charter available with the 13 car. If that doesn't come back, what happens to Ty Dillon? Although I think a lot of people are pointing at retirement for Ty Dillon.
Yep.
I think that was a rumor that we heard well before there were talks of this team shutting down. Yep. And now it seems like it's more logical at this point. So I don't know. There's still a lot of shoes to fall, and we may not get the answers until after the season's over or even closer to the beginning of next season. So, but I think we're going to find out Bubba. We're going to find out real soon. I think we're going to find out the 48 pretty soon. And I honestly think you're probably right, James. I think the way you've got it cycled with, man, I'm struggling with Larson because it seems like it. And maybe that's why there's been so little talk about the 14 car, because there really hasn't been a ton of talk. I don't know. Maybe everybody knows it's a done deal on the inside and they're not talking about it because what's the point in bringing it up? And they don't want to speculate about Larson, but
yep.
I don't know. But I think Jones probably has a better chance at the 48 than Bubba does, as much as I'd like to see Bubba in that car.
Yeah, I think so too. I just think, you know, Bubba's talented and he's got sponsorship. Yep. So it's, you know, he's bringing stuff to the table. Jones, you're riding on his talent and potential.
Yep.
And that's it.
I think Jones would be a better fit somewhere like Stuart Haas than he will be at Hendrick. But
yeah, I do too.
But I don't think that's where he's going to end up. So
yeah, because you got that Suarez, you know, that Suarez thing that happened at Stuart Haas too, where he came in and, you know, they got a really good look at him for a year and they said, we're good.
Jones probably has more potential to go somewhere like Hendrick and light the world on fire than to go somewhere where he's going to be, you know, a second or third tier driver at Stuart Haas.
Yeah, so. I just don't want Jones to go so far back. Like, I don't want him to take the 43 seat, for example. No. I don't want him to go that far back. I want to see what he can do in equal equipment. So yep. Stuart Haas can give him that. Hendrick can get him close.
Yeah. Unless there's some big thing behind the 43 that's going to bring him back up to, or bring him up a level. But if that's the case, then I don't know why Bubba would have left. So I doubt that's happening.
Yep. Yep. So. Exactly.
One free agent that we know is not going to be around to take one of those spots is old Jimmer, James.
Yeah.
He signed a 2-year IndyCar deal with Chip Ganassi Racing, which I don't think was any big surprise for any of us. He kind of talked about this on the Dale Jr. Download, talked about it in some interviews that he was looking to do it. Chip Ganassi seemed like the logical choice. Street and road courses only. Potential for some cup races, which is awesome. And then potential for the 2022 Indy 500.
Yeah, he's been watching how the Halo's working.
Yeah.
Or the Windsor. What's IndyCar calling it? They don't call it the Halo. That's F1.
Windscreen.
So, yeah, he's been keeping an eye on that. And it's opened up the possibility to possibly running at Indy. So,
yep.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. I'd love to see it.
Yep. Yeah, and I think the coolest thing about it to me, James, is that we'll still get to see him in the Cup Series, hopefully, a few races. So that's awesome.
Yeah, with some fans maybe back eventually.
Yep.
That would be nice.
In a Chevrolet, which I think is good because that means potential for running that 8 Xfinity car maybe a couple times too.
Yeah, he's going to have some freedom.
Yeah.
Which, you know, he's been stuck at that pretty rigid schedule for a long time. So, it's going to be weird for Jimmer. To have that, but I'm excited to see him go into to Chase's passions elsewhere. Chip Ganassi is just, like you said, it's a perfect fit. They know each other from the NASCAR garage. They're Chevy guys, so he's got that tie-in. I mean, it's just symmetry all around. So here, I love it.
Here's my prediction. You ready for this?
Do it.
Rick Hendrick brings the 5 back, sends the 48 with Jimmy to Chip Ganassi. So Jimmy gets still around the 48 car in the Cup Series.
That's cool.
That'd be cool.
I'd be all for that. Yeah.
I like that. I mean, he's got the 5 or the 25, right? 25 is not running either.
The 5 and the 25. You are correct. So, yep.
I mean, 5. I would go to the 5 because that's the original Hendrick number.
Yeah.
But it also is the cursed Hendrick number.
Yeah. It's so. One of, yeah, and the 25 is pretty cursed too. Yeah. They both don't have a very good, other than Terry Labonte winning the title with the 5. That's the one outlier. But the 25 has got a weird history too.
Yeah. Yes, it does. Only other news item, we'll kind of just speed through it real quick. There's not a whole lot to discuss. Mike Wallace suspended indefinitely from NASCAR. Comments made on social media. From my understanding of it, James, I know you and I haven't read into it real close. I saw some stuff posted. I don't know specifically that it was comments necessarily that he made, but opinions that he shared from others on his social media that are detrimental to stock car racing.
Yeah, weird. Just weird. Don't know why he's doing it. I don't know. I don't know what the point of it is. But yeah, you can go read those if you want to. We're not going to rehash them.
Yeah. I did hear some stuff from people on the inside that maybe weren't terribly surprised over this. So
yeah, I don't know. Kind of a black eye on the Wallace family more than anything. That yep. I don't know. I mean, Rusty's Rusty, but. Right. Kenny's crazy, but listen, Mike Wallace has run 3 races this year in the Xfinity Series, and it's his first races in 5 years. So
yeah, the only time we're going to notice this is on a restrictor plate track.
Yeah, he's only run, which is weird because he's only run road courses so far.
That's interesting.
But it's right. Yeah, if he does run, super speedways, I mean, he's usually one of those guys in the top 10. Yep. So he's really good there. It's crazy, but yeah, it's just a bummer. I don't know why people just can't be nice and just don't share stuff. That's antagonizing.
It's tough. I mean, as a celebrity, you want to be like everybody. I mean, right now everybody's sharing the crap that they're sharing and you want to be like them and you forget that you have a following. And
yeah, I know.
You just can't post the stuff that everybody else posts.
Right. Exactly.
So, and I mean, everybody else shouldn't be posting them either, but
I know
they might be able to get away with it.
I know. So. I know, but NASCAR's taking they're taking their stance seriously, and if they see stuff like this, they're going to act on it. So.
Well, I posted on Facebook this week. I'm as close as I've ever come to taking a Facebook break. It probably won't happen. I've threatened before and never carried it out. And as I posted that, I'm still checking Facebook constantly. But
Yeah, you're getting off of Facebook as I'm getting back onto it because I'm sharing other crap. So,
yep.
Yeah.
James, I'm not stopping the podcast, but I do have to unlock the door real quick. So why don't you filibuster for me and talk about our race picks and how we split the day on.
Let me do that. So last week, Eric went Kyle Busch. I went Martin Truex Jr. And like Eric said, I didn't get the win there. So that sucks. But we draw. He picked Ricky Stenhouse as a non-playoff driver. I picked Jimmy Johnson. So I'm still 6 behind after 28 races. I don't know how I'm going to make that up.
Yeah, the tough thing is I don't know what I'm going to do when I get the first pick this weekend.
You do. At the Bass Pro Shops NRA Night Race, as they're calling it. So, I'm looking at the stats for most recent races, the last 4, not including the All-Star race. I'm gonna leave that one out.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Expect you got Hamlin with the win, you've got Kez, you've got Kyle Busch, and you've got Kurt Busch. All those guys got wins, but Chase Elliott, he's the best of the recent races at Bristol. Average finish, let me see, not the best average finish, but with that all-star win. And now I guess I am including that all-star win, but he's got an average finish of 10.2. Kurt Busch really, going down to the last 4. So the last 4 races, Kurt Busch average finish of 4.8. So that stands out to me. That's pretty good. 4 top 10s, 2 top 5s. Kyle Busch Average finish of 7.2 with a win and three top fives and three top tens. Brett Boyer's in there too.
Yeah.
Boyer doesn't have a win. He's a top 10 machine. That goes back to what we were saying earlier with the points. Like, how are you going to catch Kurt and Clint? I mean, right there, I'm looking at it right now.
Right.
Do it.
Man, that's tough. I'm not going to go. I'm gonna leave Chase there for you, James. I'm gonna go and take the KFB chain.
KFB, huh?
Yeah, I'm going KFB, and I'm gonna pick Kyle. Speaking of Kyle, well, I'll save it for my shout out. All right.
Okay. Good.
So Kyle Busch.
My playoff driver, and I really like what I saw at the All Star race with Chase Elliott. I gotta beat Kyle Busch.
You almost gotta take a Busch, don't you?
I'm leaning towards taking Kurt, but. I need race wins. Give me Chase Elliott. All give me Chase Elliott. I need a race win. I'll take the most recent guy who's won here with the All-Star race included.
If I didn't have the big lead that I have, I would have definitely taken Chase Elliott. But I'm going to go on a win. I mean, Kyle's got to win. He's got to win this year. There's no way he goes winless this season.
Yeah,
if there's going to be a track, he's going to do it. This is the one.
Yeah, I'd like to take Kurt, but I just don't see Kurt winning. Maybe getting a top five, yeah, but... Chase Elliott, I can see winning this race.
I can see Kurt winning this race.
Possibly. It might be dumb in my part, a dumb decision on me at the end of the day, but that's okay.
Note, both of us could have gone on a limb and gone with Blaney or DiBenedetto, but neither did.
Yeah.
All right. You get first non-playoff.
For the non-playoff driver, I'll go Chris Bell.
Chris Bell.
One career start, a ninth place finish.
I think you left.
I left some good ones on the table.
You left
you, bud.
A really good one on the table, and I'm going to stick on the Joe Gibbs train and going to go with Eric Jones.
Yeah, Eric Jones is going to be tough. I'm probably going to have him in my fantasy lineup. He's going to be good. Johnson's still good here.
Yep. Bubba Wallace is a good pick here.
Under Nemechek.
Yep.
He has one good run here, a 13th place finish, so. Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
Picks are in.
There they are. Fantasy League, James, again, we already hinted at it, but James got a win in the Fantasy League this week. I did terrible. I think I finished dead last of – was I dead last of people that actually picked?
Yes, you were. I'm pulling up the statistics right now. So, at Richmond Raceway, I was able to pull off the win. Barron Speedway, he picked his lineup. He finished the second. Freight Train was third, Ranger fourth, tied with Denny the Many, Jay Wint, Justin 713, and then Eric. Sorry, man.
Yeah.
We do have this fancy new playoff section. So two playoff races. I have two wins. Freight Train's right on my tail, though. He's not going anywhere. And Ranger is third there. And overall, nothing much changed. Freight Train, Ranger. And then I am I'm catching Ranger, but I'm still 100 points behind. So not that close. So there's your fantasy update.
Yeah, I mean, you're in. You've got a shot at it.
It's a puncher's chance. I really got to – Todd's got to forget to pick his team.
Yeah.
And I ever got a chance. But I don't think he's going to do that.
I was looking at it this morning and admiring how you do still have a shot. For how terrible you started out, you've got a shot. At taking the whole thing.
Yeah, after the pandemic, I was really in a bad place. But now with the baby coming, I'm probably going to fall off a cliff again. So
yeah, you'll have more important things to do than pick your drivers. And
I'm still picking, man. Trying. I'm dedicated to trying to catch these two, but it's tough. They're very tough. They are very good. Todd is always top three, so catching him is tough.
Yeah.
He's good. He knows what he's doing.
I'm definitely putting money on the line next year so he can't enter.
Yeah, good.
Sorry, Todd. It's going to happen. No, yeah. I won't do that. So, all right. So, shout out I was going to go with is Kyle and Samantha's, Kyle Busch, Samantha Bush's social media is entertaining always. I like to see the side of Kyle Busch that we don't get to see at the track. I personally like the Kyle Busch that we see at the track, as annoying as he is, because at least he's passionate. Does come across a little whiny, but that's the understatement of the day, by the way. But I love seeing the personal stuff too. And they have a KFB shirt now, of course. And there was a video of him and Samantha and Brexton And Brexton going, Kyle F. Busch. What does the F stand for? He says. I thought that was pretty good. So they were coming up with different different F words that aren't the one that is the reason that he is.
KFB.
You know.
That is so good. That is so good. So. Man, do you ever wonder, like, so these celebrities and their kids, especially a celebrity like Kyle Busch, they're eventually going to get on the internet someday. Isn't that going to be, like, really difficult for them?
I don't know,
I was wondering about that. I don't know.
I mean, I think Kyle maybe will be liked by then, so hopefully.
Hopefully it buries the past on him, that's for sure.
I mean, seriously, you guys, if you hate Kyle Busch, follow his social media, follow his YouTube channel, watch him working with Brexton. The latest Brexton Busch video of Brexton Racing is Kyle sitting there going over video and over analyzing where Brexton is hitting or letting off the gas and where he's getting on the gas and all this stuff. And it's like, yeah, he's doing this to what, a 6-year-old, I think Brexton is, something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Brexton's not absorbing it, but to see Kyle, see this guy who is, you know, say what you want to say about him, but he's one of the greatest drivers we've got right now. And to see that, you get to see that mentorship that he has that you never see. I mean, we never see it with his drivers and his truck series because all that's done behind closed doors. And you get to see a little glimpse of it and how he's treating his son and how he's mentoring his son. And I mean, Brexton better listen, man. He's got some good advice coming from that guy.
Yeah. He's got a great dad and a great uncle he could always lean on too.
Yeah.
They figured out how to get it done. So,
yep, exactly. Yeah. You got a shout out today, James?
Yeah, kind of a sentimental one, a little bit. So I don't know if you're up with this story, Eric, but this kid, he's actually from our neck of the woods, Ann Arbor, Michigan. According to his Twitter, I think he's, you know, from the Brooklyn, Ann Arbor area. But his name is Noah Sweet, and he designed a car using the ally scheme for Jimmy Johnson, and he did a theme for Pride.
Okay.
And got a lot of crap on social media to the point where he had to get treatment for it. We'll just leave it at that. And had to go away for a while. But there's been some petitions going around and people using the hashtag We Love Lefty on Twitter to get his spirits back up. And just wanted to shout him out and shout out the community of NASCAR fans that came around this kid. He's young. He's just a young kid, but he does, if you follow him on Twitter, it's NoahSweet7, at NoahSweet7. He does custom paint schemes and things. He's really creative, does a really great job. And the car he created for Jimmy using the Pride scheme, Pride or no Pride, is awesome looking. It's great. So I just wanted to shout out the NASCAR online community. You know, you think it's a cesspool a lot of the time, and sometimes it is. But to see everybody rally around this kid, I saw Mike Bagley tweeting about it. It ran all the way up the ladder, and then I saw Ally Racing actually reached out to him, and I don't know what they're going to do, but hopefully something's in the works for that, to maybe get his car out there. I know there was a petition to have Jimmy actually race the car. I don't know if it's going to get that far, but hopefully they're doing something for him, because it's awesome he's back. And I don't know, just really happy, really good story. You could have had a different ending. And just really cool to see, the community rally around. And I'm glad he's doing well.
Well, I'm glad you shouted that out, because I did not know any of this story, but I am checking it out. And this car is pretty darn sweet, by the way.
It's bad to the bone, man. He designs really good race cars. He's got a lot of his old schemes that he's done for iRacing and stuff. If you follow along, he's on there. So it's awesome.
Yeah, really that's cool. That's an awesome paint scheme. I'd love to see that on the track. That's better than most of the Ally schemes I've seen.
Yeah, exactly. It's awesome. So, check him out. He seems like a great kid. Got a good sense of humor. I just thought it was a cool story. I wanted to share it on the pod. Kudos to all involved. Glad to see him doing well.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm definitely. I just followed him on Twitter, so was not aware of the story. So that's awesome. Thanks, James.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. With that, we move on to Bristol this coming weekend. It is the Bristol Bass Pro Shops NRA Night Race, Bristol Motor Speedway. A little bummed, a little disappointed, because this was supposed to be my final race of the season to attend. And
oh, I forgot about that.
Yep. Not doing it, but hopefully next year. Hopefully next year I'll get to go. I wanted to go to the first one that was in the playoffs, but it just wasn't in the card. So, James, if people want to chat with you on social media during the week, if your wife doesn't have the baby, how do they get a hold of you?
James Cush on Twitter.
Say it again, James, because you cut out.
All right, at James Cush on Twitter.
There you go. I am at @TSuperSpeedway on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheSuperSpeedway. Our website is www.thesuperspeedway.com. You can find the podcasts on there, links to all the past episodes or a bunch of the past episodes, old coverage, links to the show notes, which contain links to all the articles we discuss on the show, as long as we're not too lazy to put them in there. All kinds of good stuff on there, photos from past races, all that. Check that out, thesuperspeedway.com. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and SoundCloud, and wherever you heard us today. We hope you subscribe and continue to listen. And if you want to help out the show and become a patron, you can do that at patreon.com/thesuperspeedway. Bristol Motor Speedway this weekend. We kick off the Truck Series playoffs this weekend, right, Bristol? Yeah. Truck Series? There we go.
They're kicking off. Yep.
Truck Series playoffs kick off this weekend. We finish out round number one of the Monster Energy Cup Series, the NASCAR Cup Series this year. It's the NRA night race at Bristol. Great race. Looking forward to discussing it. We'll be back next week, or I will be for sure. Maybe James, to discuss it, break it all down, and preview the round of 12. We'll have our round of 12 ready to go. Until then, everybody, let's go racing.